Welcome to Family Yields Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Walter. Thank you for joining me as I delve deeper into topics of family life through the lens of permaculture. Today I'm going to be talking to you about rhythm. Rhythm is another way to talk about a schedule. However, it's a more fluid way to think about how we use our time as a family. And I like to think about rhythm more like a natural cycle rather than something dictated by an external force like a clock. Because as we know, in nature, there's a natural rhythm. Like every year we go through the same seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter, and then we cycle back around again. And it becomes predictable and it becomes something that we kind of lean into and something that helps us as people to survive and really gives us a container that we can exist within, right? And something to rely on that's kind of bigger than ourselves. So if we take this idea of natural cycles and we scale it down to our family cycles, it can really, really help to give focus to our days and to make our days a little bit more predictable. And I have found with my family that the more predictable my days are, the easier it is for my children to kind of fall into those things which are, I don't know, maybe a little bit more unsavory for them to participate in. Things like their morning chores or tidy up times and things like that. So today I wanted to share a little bit about what our family does for our family rhythm. Not because it is the family rhythm that's going to work for everybody, but just so that you can get a sense of what a rhythm looks like. So when I designed our rhythm, I started with the things that punctuate our day most clearly and that depend mostly on the time clock. And then I worked my way out from there to add in the details and the things of our lives that are important to us. Now, we are an unschooling family for the most part. We do a little bit of bookwork each day, but apart from that, we have a very unstructured time as far as homeschooling is concerned. So what our rhythm looks like is we get up in the morning, kids are doing breakfast. So one of my son's chores is to serve the breakfast for everybody. So he gets up and does that. He usually has that done before we even get out of bed, which is super great because he's an early riser and he often wakes hungry. So he's able to sort that problem out for himself and be very motivated to do that chore. So that's a tiny little example of how our family rhythm really responds to what our family dynamic is. So we've got an early riser who wakes up hungry. So we gave that job to him so that he can be on top of it and feel really proud of what he's doing and also serve his own needs at the same time. We like the children to come downstairs already dressed. This is part of our rhythm because it saves one more battle. If we have the kids already dressed before they're downstairs, I don't have to ask them to do that. It's one less request that I have to make of them. So since it's part of our family rhythm, if I do have to prompt them, then they know they can kind of lean back into that and be like, oh, right, I forgot to do that. After I come downstairs, I'm usually prompting the kids to get through their chores. My oldest is 10, then I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. They're pretty little still and they need reminders for their chores. And also, here's the truth of it. Rhythm helps, but it doesn't solve all the problems. You know, kids don't love doing chores. Each of my children has some morning chores that they do, so I help them to work through those. Following that, we try to do our learning block straight away. And what learning block looks like in our house is about 20 minutes of bookwork. Following that, the children have a large span of free time until 10:30. So our learning block can end, depending on the day, it can end anywhere between 8 a.m. and sometimes 10:30. Like sometimes we have to work through that all the way through the morning just because a child maybe gets up and they get into a Lego project. And so I try to be a bit respectful. So that's why it's a rhythm. I much prefer the days where we get up and we do things straight away because that way it's out of the way, you know, like and kind of all the chores are out of the way and then the kids can get into the activities as deeply as they want to and there's no stopwatch and nobody nagging them. And I try to point it out every time that it works out that we get up, we do our chores, we get right through our learning block and then we move on because those days are usually our more successful days when we get up and we're into the routine. Sometimes it just feels, the energy in the house just feels like we need to take a more slow morning. Because the structure's there doesn't mean you stop everything and honor the structure above the child. It means that you're responding to your family system. Sometimes the family system is really on task and we can get through all the things that we have in the morning, and sometimes we don't. So at 10:30, we generally, 10:30, we have a snack and then we head outside. We spend a lot of time outdoors. We live on a permaculture farm. We have a lot of animals, including a dog that joined our farm just over a year ago. And so she needs to be taken for perimeter walks because she's still considered a puppy. She's a livestock guardian dog. And so we have to take her for walks all the time to train her on how to be on the farm. So from 10:30 until sometimes lunch, sometimes just for half an hour, like if the weather's really crummy, we kind of just take the dog out for the minimum amount of time, right? So here again, we're responding to the family system. So we have kind of a set time for snack because that's when my kids get hungry. And then following that, we go outside. So that's a piece of our family rhythm. What happens while we're outside? Totally up in the air. What happens when we come inside, or even when we come inside, also totally up in the air. So we have that in place. Lunchtime usually happens at 12 and we block off an hour for that. It gives us some flexibility. Following lunch every day, we have a rest time. So from 1 until 2:30, my children each go to their own bedroom. We are blessed that each of my three children have their own bedroom in this house. And so they go to their own bedroom and they do independent activities for an hour and a half. And just so you know, that wasn't something that we started off with. We had to work up to that. So my children have been having rest time essentially since they stopped having naps. And that was something that was recommended to me by a friend. A really fantastic friend who also does a podcast. If you want to check out her podcast, she does Mother Bird Podcast. Shout out to her. Anyway, so we had set that up and have been working towards an hour and a half for a long time. And we're really happy with that amount of time. So the children's rest time is from 1 until 2:30. Following that, they're expected to clean their rooms. So here again, we have it so that they clean their room before they're supposed to come out of their room. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes tidy up time takes a really long time. I find usually if we have something that we're looking forward to in the afternoon, I'll prep them and say, hey, don't forget we're going to this place, or don't forget we were going to do this activity together. So please make sure you tidy up your room so that you can be right ready to go at 2:30. And most of the time that works really well. So here again, they're able to kind of press into that rhythm and know, okay, well, when it's 2:30, then I know I'm going to get to go on to this other activity. So at 2:30, the kids come out of their rooms. The afternoons are a bit more flexible. We go outside again for a time. Sometimes it's right after rest time. Sometimes it's around 4 o'clock, sometimes even 4:30. But they do know we have an outdoor chunk of time. Our dinner time is around 5:30 usually. So around 5 o'clock, we start our tidy up time. Everybody in the household is expected to tidy up. And we just make sure that the house is left really clean at the end of the day. All toys need to be put away. All books get back on the shelf. Anything we were doing gets tidied up. So we sit down to dinner at 5:30. We begin our meal with a blessing and try to share statements of gratitude for the day, things that we've done, and for each other, because that really helps to set the tone. Following dinner, we usually head straight up for bedtime routine, and that gives us a little bit of extra time. So in the warmer months, you know, we need to have baths before bed. We like to take it slow. We like to read books to the kids. And then usually it's lights out about 7 and about 8 o'clock for my eldest, who's 10. As I said about the family rhythm, it's not that I think our rhythm is perfect, but our rhythm works for us. And our rhythm works for us for different details that kind of we've worked through over the years. So if you're trying to design your own family rhythm, what I would suggest to you is find those key times that are stable in your day. Maybe you wake at the same time. Maybe you eat the meals at the same time. Or maybe you don't. And maybe your family rhythm is not going to be time-based at all. Maybe your family rhythm is going to be just sequence-based. First this, then this, after that we do this. Just so that there's a predictability to the day and so that you know what's coming next, but also so that your children know. And so when those difficult things like tidy up time come along, it's like, oh, right, we know we have to tidy up before we're going to eat dinner together. That's just what we do. And it's that whole feeling of that's just what we do that helps to create the momentum and to keep things going. So what I can say about that predictability is that when it's not there, it means you're setting yourself up for dissonance. So every time that activity comes up, you have the opportunity for resistance. And the more that you practice the rhythm of following through on that activity, the more the child gets to trust that that activity is not going to take up their whole day. It's not going to monopolize their time, that it only takes a short amount of time. And this is actually something that I've done with my children where, you know, they've said, oh, this is going to take forever. Look at the big mess. And I said, well, let's time ourselves and let's see how quickly we can get this done. And so I set the timer, and on a bad day, sometimes we're kind of upset with the time it takes, you know, because it's, well, we have to put in a consistent effort for 30 minutes to get there. But the majority of that 30 minutes is trying to help my children get to the task, right? And on the days where they have buy-in, you know, maybe it takes 5 minutes or 8 minutes, and we can look at the timer at the end of it and say, wow, that was only 8 minutes? Really? Okay, so let's just reflect on the fact that we had this huge resistance to tidying up. And how was it actually when we got to doing the work? And how is it now, noticing that it only took us 8 minutes to do this? Let's remember that for the next time so that we have that built-in rhythm and that built-in reflection period. So the use of a rhythm to me is really following the principle of permaculture, which is applying patterns. Okay, so looking for the patterns in your family cycles in the day-to-day cycle, and sometimes those expand to the weeks or the monthly cycles, and to look at how you can design a pattern and then fill in the details of your day around that pattern. Because it means that you can also trust that those things that you feel need to get done are going to get done at some time during the day, whatever works for you, but that you know it's going to be done. So an example for me is I get really uptight when my house is very cluttery, and it helps me to release some of that so that I'm not kind of putting that onto my children. You know, we've got to tidy this up and keep it clean. So it allows me to keep that in check a little bit and trust that I'm going to get what I need later in the day. And then I can enjoy my children and all their mess. The other principle that I think family rhythms really speak to is applying self-regulation and accepting feedback. And obviously, regulating ourselves using a rhythm is super helpful, but then also taking a look at the feedback that we're getting from ourselves, from our children, and from how our days are playing out, so that you can be adjusting your schedule to suit your needs, as well as responding each day to the individuals that are part of your family system and responding to those stressors and those things that come up and those unexpected moods and attitudes. So in the face of what you can't control, the family rhythm gives some stability. So as you're thinking about your family rhythm, start with a list. What are the things that are really important to you and you feel need to be done every day? Then maybe you want to expand that to a list of things that you want to be done weekly, and then maybe a list of things that you want to be done monthly. We rely a lot on Google Calendars. It helps us to kind of prioritize things that matter in our life and to create those systems for ourselves so that we're visiting and revisiting things that we deem important at different times of the week or the month. So we have reminders that come up in that, and that really helps us to kind of keep to those larger rhythms. Our daily rhythm we have memorized, and it's kind of just how we roll. But the weekly and the monthly things, sometimes they drop off the list. So for example, we love to look at photographs. So we found that we weren't doing that very often. And we're like, oh, well, we have all these photograph albums and they're just sitting there. So we have a little reminder in our Google Calendar that just reminds us sort of on the third Sunday of every month to take a look at our photo albums. And so we sit around as a family and we do that. And it helps us to kind of keep those things a priority. So come up with a list of the things that feel really important to your family. What are the things that you value? What are the things that you want to do? For us, we love to be outside. We love to take time to be in nature. And so that has become a big part of our daily family rhythm. And sometimes it ends up taking up most of the day. So my point here is you need to figure out what is working for your family, what your family values, and then construct a family rhythm around those key pivotal points for your family system. You are the expert in your family system, and you know how to do this. You already have all the resources you need to put together your family rhythm. But if you're still feeling like you need a little bit more support, this is actually one of the lessons I include in my homeschooling course called the Homeschooling Empowerment Course. If you're interested in finding out more about that course, head on over to my website at familyyields.com. Thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, Julie Walter, and this is the Family Yields Podcast. If you like what you heard today, please support me by heading over to patreon.com/familyyields.